Well, the Wild have not been home for a while. They had to go Game 7 out to Denver. And then,
I see what you did, the Wild. What you did there.
And then they had to play 1-2 in Chicago. Finally, they're back home. They get Chicago tonight, but a lot different attitude and hopefully a lot different result tonight because they're down 2-0. The guy that we'll you'll hear coming up at 7:30 tonight, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, Kevin Faulness. Kevin, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, fellas. We're ready for some hockey here in St. Paul. It's just these late start times, I know it's not fun for Wild fans all across what we call the great state of hockey to wait for the drop of the puck. It's no easier for me. Drop the puck already.
Well, last time we had you on at 4:15, the day that the Wild played, and we got a Wild win. So I figured we can't mess with a good thing. I mean, I've got my tribute to David Putty from Seinfeld, Kevin. I got my Wild hat. I got my Wild jersey, man. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
You know what? Then I'm the lucky rabbit's foot in this instance. So everybody rub me mentally, and we'll be boy, what a disturbing thought that is.
I'm glad you.
I'm
glad
ready. Let's get it going.
I'm glad you threw in mentally, Kevin.
They had a skate around earlier today. Have they made any changes or updates to Game 3 tonight?
Yeah, really. Well, I mean, the lineup in itself, they're juggling the lines right from the start. But the biggest addition is going to be Keith Ballard, the former Gopher, back in the lineup for the first time in like 2 months. He's been dealing with his own lower body issues, but it looks like he's going to get into the lineup. He'll replace Nate Prosser, and they hope that's something that can help jumpstart the offense from the back end. So that's a good thing. You know, nothing against Nate Prosser. Prosser's actually done a very good job for this team when he's been in the lineup over the course of the bulk of the year. You know, has played a really valuable role, but I mean, Keith Ballard is a veteran of the National Hockey League and is a guy that can move the puck around, and I think will be a very valuable asset back there on the blue line for the Wild.
You know, we always talk about Marian Hossa, Taves, Patrick Kane, but why has Brian Bickell been a thorn in the side for the Wild?
Yeah, I tell you, going into this series, too, it's not that I'd forgotten about him, but there are so many guys with such big name and star appeal that he does kind of get forgotten about. Plus, he didn't have a really great regular season. Then he comes into this thing, and once again, much like he did last year, he's blowing the roof off the place. You know, I mean, his stats speak for themselves, what he's done to the Wild, but even in the playoffs in general, 5 goals, 8 points. I mean, he's, you know, right there at the top of the list there with some of the other big names on that Hawks roster pulling in points. And did it to the Wild again in Game 2, and he's definitely a guy that they have to concentrate on, along with Kane, Taves, Hossa, Sharp, and the rest of them.
Nate Prosser, by the way, is even a scratch tonight, so the former Sioux Falls Stampede player not in the lineup tonight. But I know Brizgalov is going to get the start between the pipes tonight, but how close is Darcy Kuemper in coming back?
Well, they aren't tipping their hand on his status or Josh Harding's status. The good news about Darcy Kuemper is today, for the first time, he did skate with the team. But the bad news is it's just the first time that he's done it since he left Game 7 with his quote-unquote upper body injury. He hasn't been with the team since. So this is just the first day back. Does that mean he could be available for Game number 4 on Friday or somewhere down the line? I guess it's possible. But I think right now they feel pretty comfortable with Ilya Brizgalov in the net, and I think for good reason. I don't think I know just looking at the box score, it doesn't look great when you look at some of the stats that Brizgalov has put up here in the first two games of this playoff series, but if you go back and look at some of the goals that he's given up, I don't really have a problem with the way Brizgalov has played. I don't think you can fault him on the Kane goal or the Taves goal or the the way that Seabrook scored or the Bickell goal for that matter. Personally, I don't have a problem with the way Brizgalov is playing, and I think of the litany of things that have gone wrong for the Wild in the first round in the second round here against the Blackhawks, I don't know that he's even in the 10 of problems that I'd want dealt with first.
He's Kevin Faulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network, here at Sports Talk with Craig and Chris. Game 3 between the Wild and the Blackhawks tonight, 8 o'clock. We're joining the network here on KWSN. So what is the main reason for optimism tonight for Wild fans?
Number one, they've been down this road before. I mean, as recently as the first round against the Colorado Avalanche, they were down 2-0 against Colorado and came back and won the series in 7 games. It started with the Game 3 victory on home ice with Mikael Granlund scoring in overtime to take the 1-0 win. And you know, that momentum along with, you know, turning things around, shutting down that top line for Colorado, especially on home ice, led to them making their way to not only winning that thing in seven games, but advancing to the second round. There's that. Plus, I don't think they played that bad in the first two games. I mean, Chicago is the defending Cup champs, and the Wild have run with them despite losing 5-2 in the first game. You know, two empty netters in that one, an empty netter in the 4-1 loss in game number two. I don't think the Chicago Blackhawks have exactly dominated the Wild in each of those first two games. They've run with them. They haven't got the results. Now they have to turn things around. They got to flip the script starting tonight. They go down 3-0 in this series, it's going to be real tough to climb out of that hole. So they got to do this round like they did last round and start nibbling away at that thing and get the win here in game number three.
Both teams like the home cooking. Neither Chicago nor Minnesota have lost at home this year. Both well under 500 on the road. And so the home cooking has got to be, I think, the big thing for the Wild tonight.
And it has been. Playing in St. Paul, you know, the first three games that they played here in the first round, games 3, 4, and 6, there was a decided advantage for the Wild. Well, first of all, I mean, they were playing a lot better, but, you know, I guess it could be up for debate how much of that can be thanks to the home crowd. But, I mean, it has to be a factor. The fans were on their feet. I think we talked, the last time we talked, I mentioned that to me, this is the best I've seen the fans here at Xcel Energy Center in the better part of a decade. You know, since that last run back in 2003, the electricity and the feel and the atmosphere that comes with National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoff action is second to none. And it's been lacking in this building for such a long time that, you know, you have your first games of the seasons and, you know, overtime wins, or Gavrik scores 5 goals in that game in 2007. But to me, there's nothing better than playoff hockey and the intensity that it brings. And the fans brought it in round one. I can't imagine it would be any different tonight.
Why are we seeing some of the stars for Minnesota struggle? I know Parisi had a tough game with the puck on Sunday. And, I mean, I think Ryan Suter, I don't have it in front of me, but I think he's a -5 in the series or something like that. And, I mean, why have these guys struggled?
Because Chicago is going to get a lot of – and, again, it'll go back to – Taves, Posa, Sharp, Kane, go right down the list. These are all great offensive stars in the National Hockey League, but a good chunk of them are also great defensive superstars as well. Jonathan Taves is one of the best two-way centers in hockey. Duncan Keith, we love our Ryan Suter, but their version of that is Duncan Keith, and pair him alongside Brent Seabrook. I mean, they've got a real solid 1-2 punch back there on the blue line where it's hard to crack that, you know, perimeter. And what they do is they choke the life out of you from a defensive standpoint. That gives them their chances offensively, and that's why they get those odd man rushes going back the other way. I mean, that's the biggest reason why they come into the Stanley Cup playoffs as one of the favorites in the league to repeat, and it's a big reason why they got it done last year. It's not just what they do offensively, it's what they do defensively. They did it to the Wild last year in the first round. They shut down Mikko Koivu, they shut down Zach Parise, and that's not easy to do, but they're doing the exact same thing again this year. Now it's up to the Wild to readjust now, turn the page a little bit and get it going in the opposite direction in game number three and start shifting things back in their favor. And they did it in round one. They did it to an extent last year in game three when Jason Zucker scored in overtime. Of course, it didn't parlay into a rally or anything overall in the series, but at least it gave them some hope. That's what they got to do this year. They got to turn the tide a little bit starting tonight.
All righty. I know you're going to be pacing up and down for the next 3 hours.
Let's do it already.
We're waiting for the radio broadcast, but we'll be waiting to hear your voice coming up tonight here, Mr. Fulness. Thanks for the time.
Should be good anytime. Hopefully everyone's mentally rubbing me here as their lucky rabbit's foot, and we'll be good to go.
I feel a little dirty, but I'm rubbing as hard as I can.
Just wash your hands. You'll be fine.
All right, thanks, Kevin. Good stuff. Yeah. Kevin Fulness, Minnesota Wild Radio Network.